Good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Today, my musical guest is none other than international guitar sensation recording artist Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Kenny's going to talk with us about his music, his career, and also about this recent supergroup he's in that we've been hearing a lot about, The Rides. They've been around a couple of years, but they're really starting to make some noise. They've got a brand new album called Pierced Arrow, and they're going to be coming to Star Plaza Theater as they tour the U.S. They'll be performing on Sunday, May 8th. Listen for your chances to call in and win. I've got some pairs of tickets that we'll be sending some listeners to see The Rides at Star Plaza. I'll give you that speed dial number right now so you can be ready when I tell you to call in. The number you'll be calling is 219-769-9577. That's 219-769-9577. Now, don't call now. Listen for me to tell you when to call, and we'll be giving away tickets. Well, before we get to talking with Kenny about The Rides and his fabulous career, let's sample something from the new album, Pierced Arrow, and let the music do the talking. This is called Kick Out of It, Rides music.
Double saw for something. Watching you hustling. That's not hustling. Watching you busking. It was something. Watching you busking. I got a kick out of it.
New music off Pierced Arrow. That's Kick Out of It. It's stuff from The Rides. I'm sure they'll be performing that when they hit the stage at Star Plaza Theater here in Merrillville, Indiana on Sunday, May 8th. It's a 7 p.m. performance. We'll be giving tickets away on that. In just a few minutes, we'll go open the phone lines and take our first call-in-to-win contest winner. But right now, we have on the phone, if the gods are with us, Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Kenny, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Awesome. Such a thrill to have you on the show. And this new music, at least what I've heard, I know the full album is now till May, is just phenomenal.
Well, thank you, man. You know, this second album gave us the opportunity to really further define the sound of this band. And this project started because Stephen Stills wanted to make a blues record. And, you know, it was supposed to be, originally, they thought it was going to be a one-off. But when Steven and Barry and I got together, we decided to try and write a few songs for the first album, and the chemistry was palpable. I mean, it was really great, and that's something you can't fake. So it felt so good, and it went so well that, you know, we did that record, we did a tour for it, and during that first tour, we set everything in motion to do a second album. And so we spent more time writing this album. It's almost all original songs. And it really defines the sound of this band now.
Now, how has this upset the apple cart as far as everyone's respective solo career? Because this, as you mentioned, you guys are all-inclusive in this. It's something it seems all of you are passionate about, and certainly it shows in the new recordings. How does this affect your solo career and Steven's work? He obviously has a lot of projects going on.
Well, yeah, the thing is that, you know, that was the challenge on the first album and the first tour especially. You know, we recorded that first record in like 7 days because we had a very narrow window of opportunity between Crosby, Stills, and Nash's touring schedule and my own touring schedule. So on this one, we took a little bit more time to write the songs, which is why we have more original songs, and we took a little more time to record it. And so now I think Crosby, Stills, and Nash, I think that group is on hold. And so that's, their schedule is no longer a potential issue. So it's just finding openings in my schedule. But Barry and Steven and I are all committed to this band because we have so much fun doing it. So I think it's a real priority for all of us.
Now, what's it like for you? I don't want to say you're the young gun because you've been around for many years and have many great albums, but compared to Stephen Stills, Barry Goldberg, for those that don't know, was a founding member of the Electric Flag, and he's been involved in so many sessions over the years, to kind of be tapped on the shoulder and say, come on, kid, let's make some music together. What was your thoughts when this first came together?
Well, I thought it was great. I mean, any chance that I get to work with talented musicians, I mean, I think that's a great opportunity, and you never know where it's going to take you. I mean, even if we got together for one day and it didn't really work out, I mean, you never know what you might learn or what might come from that. So I was open to it. I had known Steven for many years already because we had been met going to football games. We are both friends with Mr. Jim Irsay, who owns the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
And so Steven and I first met at the Super Bowl when the Colts beat the Chicago Bears.
Oh, had to open that wound, didn't you? We're Chicago-based here.
Well, I know you are. And so, yes, we were down there for that. And there was actually more Chicago fans there than Indianapolis fans, so I'm sure that was a really sore subject. But anyways, the Colts won that year. We had a big party the night before the game, and there was a big spontaneous jam session that happened. And it was me and Stephen Stills and John Mellencamp and Mike Mills, the bass player from REM. And we played like 2.5 hours of music, completely unrehearsed, and had a blast doing it. And so that became like a tradition, like as big football games. And when Jim throws his parties, he flies all of us out and we played together. So that's how Steven and I first met.
Okay.
And so when I got the phone call, you know, and they said, Steven wants to make a blues record. Are you interested in being part of it? I was like, yeah, man. I mean, you never know where it's going to go. And I'm never too old or too accomplished to learn something from somebody. So I thought it would be a great opportunity.
And is this looking, obviously you've got a second album now that's coming out and a tour. Is this looking to be a long-term project? Have you talked, you know, this might be what we do for the rest of our careers, or at least for the next years or two?
Well, I think so. I think, you know, well, the bottom line is as long as it's fun, as long as it's fun and everybody's having a good time, then I think Barry and Steven most definitely will be all in. And I'm certainly into it. I really enjoy doing this music with these guys. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And it, for me, it's a great experience because it's such a different dynamic from my band. Because in my band, you know, it's I'm the boss. I call all the shots. And then, but I also don't sing lead vocals as much in my band, in my own band, as I do in The Ride. Like, I sing more lead vocals in this band than in my own band. So it's a cool dynamic all the way around. It's different. I share guitar responsibilities with Steven. I share vocal responsibilities with him. And it's a band where the three of us have to agree on everything together. So it's nice to have a different experience and a different perspective.
Now, something that's got to be a little comforting for you is Chris Layton is with you, which is, of course, the drummer in the Kenny Wayne Shepherd band and former member of Double Trouble. So he's on the road with you. Am I correct on that?
Yes, he's been in my band now for
long time.
I think consistently for 8 years or maybe longer. And he's played on every record I've done since my first album. So Chris and I go way back. And yes, when we went to do the first Rides album, we were trying to figure out, well, who should we have play drums and bass? And we had a whole list of names of other musicians and stuff. And I was like, you know, Chris, my drummer, Chris, you know, he's fantastic and he'd be perfect for this. And then Steve was like, yeah, well, Kevin, who plays bass with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, would be a great bass player. And so we put the two guys together, and they play together like they've been playing together their whole lives. And so, yes, it's a great rhythm session, and they're still they're on this new record, and they're out on the tour with us.
Well, you had mentioned CSNN a couple of times now, and one of the songs off Pierced Arrow, the new album coming out, has kind of a CSN vibe, and that is Virtual World. When you listen to it, I can almost hear all the harmonies coming together. It sounds like something that he might have written if Crosby, Stills, and Nash were still ongoing. Do you catch that vibe when you hear that song?
Yes, well, you know, what's interesting is we wrote that song, and then Steven did his vocal on it, and I thought it was great the way that it was. But I could see the wheels were turning in his head. He was thinking about something. And he was like, hey, go out into the vocal booth and try something. And he led me through this harmony vocal throughout the entire song with him. And when it was done, man, I came back in and listened, and it was just magical. It was so cool. And it really transformed the song. And that was a real moment for me. I mean, you know, Steven, I mean, we're very close. He's like my big brother, but still who he is and what he's contributed to music is undeniable. And, you know, he's so well known for these kinds of harmonies and things like that. And the people that he normally does that with are Neil Young and David Crosby and Graham Nash and these legendary guys. And then for the first time I was hearing my voice blending with Steven's that way, and I just thought, wow, this is really incredible.
Well, we're going to give the listeners a chance to hear it, and so far it's become my favorite song on the new album. But as we listen to it, I want people to start their fingers dialing. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to go see The Rides, which is Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Steven Stills, Barry Goldberg, Kevin McCormick, and Chris Layton live at the Star on Sunday, May 8th. That phone number is 219-769-9577. 769-9577. Be the first one to get through, and I'll set you up with tickets as we listen to Virtual World from The Rides.
I only see the waves. you don't know who you can count on to turn the and it's in the way.
Taking a trip into the virtual world. That's new music from The Rides off their forthcoming Pierced Arrow album, being released, I believe it's early May, isn't it, Kenny?
Yeah, May 6th is when the album comes out.
Worldwide?
Yes, that is correct, both overseas and here in the United States.
All right. Of course, vinyl is a big deal now with so many people, old and new. And given that you guys span the generations within the group as well as your audience, are you going to be doing any vinyl pressings?
Absolutely. That's what this album was made for. We're very old school and traditional in our approach to recording, so everything was done to... It was done analog. It was 2-inch tape that we recorded to. We mixed it and mastered it on tape. We used real reverb chambers. I mean, we did everything in this process to make this album. It's made for vinyl. So, yes, there's going to be a vinyl release. Actually, the first Rides album was released on vinyl as well. And just about every project that I've done for the past 10 years has had at least some kind of limited release on vinyl. So, yes, for you vinyl enthusiasts, it's out there.
All right. Now, we were talking earlier about how the first album was done very quickly. How much time was invested from start to finish when you guys walked into the studio till the time you came out with the master tapes and had the pressings ready?
Well, the first one we recorded for about 7 days, and we mixed it for about a week and a half, and then mastering only took like a day or two. So that was like maybe 2.5, 3 weeks total for the first album. This one took about a month and a half. Because we had more songs. On the first album, we only wrote 5 songs, and then we were like figuring out cover songs while we were in the studio. Mm-hmm. So we had less material, so naturally this one took a little more time. But regardless, you know, we didn't spend months and months in the studio overthinking things. We went in and made a record the way albums are supposed to be made.
Who produced the new one?
Well, we did, actually.
Oh, okay.
The first one was co-produced with us, Jerry Harrison from the Talking Heads, who has produced many of my records over the years. Jerry participated in the first album with us. But on this one, we felt like, you know, we had the history of already making one record, and we kind of knew each other and how we worked. And we definitely felt collectively that we had the talent, so we decided to produce it ourselves.
All right. And with we had talked earlier about how you and Stephen Stills had met over football and then have worked together. How did Barry get into the mix? He's done a lot of session work. Of course, he was a founding member of Electric Flag. He's from right here in Chicago originally. How did he fit into the mix and come on board?
Well, Barry and Stephen both appeared on an album. I can't remember what year it was released. I want to say it was in the 60s. It was called The Super Sessions.
Oh, yeah, with Michael Bloomfield.
Right. So, you know, back then on albums, like real vinyl albums, you know, you would have two sides to a record. So on one side was Mike Bloomfield, and Barry played on that side with Mike. And then I guess Mike left in the middle of the recording session for some reason, and Al Cooper was the one that was producing it. And so he was looking, he had a whole other side of the record that he had to fill up, and so he called Stephen and asked Stephen to come in the studio. So Barry and Stephen both appeared on the same album, but they actually never met.
Hmm.
And so then, you know, decades later, Stephen wants to make a blues record, and he's talking to his manager, and his manager also manages Barry. And they've been lifelong friends, Barry and Elliot, who is their manager. So Elliot says, oh, well, you and Barry should hook up. You guys played on that Super Sessions record. And so they met for the first time when they got together for the beginning of this project. And they started writing songs. And as they were together, they felt that they needed another member besides just the two of them. And they were tossing around ideas and names, and my name got tossed out there. And I got a phone call, and I said, yeah, let's do it.
Now, you've been very busy over the last few years as well with the Experience Hendrix project, and that's kept you on the road quite a bit. Is that something that you're going to continue doing?
Yeah, you know, they do that once a year or once every other year, and we've been part of it. I've done it since before it was even a tour. You know, it started in Seattle with, like, one little concert in a small venue, just paying tribute to Jimmy, and it evolved into the massive tour that it is today. So I've been doing that. Also, last year I was out with Van Halen. So, you know, it's like we've been on the road, man, pretty consistently over the past several years. And, you know, I've been trying to put out new projects between my band and this band with Stephen and Barry, The Rides. I've been trying to put out something new every year, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, one year I'll put out a Kenny Lane Shepherd project. The next year we try and follow it up with The Rides project. Sometimes I'm not always able to make that schedule, but that's the goal. So between the two bands and all the projects that come out as a result of them, it keeps me pretty busy.
Well, I think your last solo came out in 2014, is that right?
Yes, that's right. And The Rides was actually supposed to come out in 2015, but the mixing process went a little bit longer than we expected, and then the Van Halen tour popped up for me. And so I ended up having to go out on the road with Van Halen, and so we had to delay the release of the Rides album for this year.
Okay. So you're keeping quite busy. You're talking about old school. That's the way they used to do it in the 60s and the 70s, 2-3 albums a year, tour, album, tour, album, tour. So many younger artists have gotten away from that work ethic. Are you seeing more of that style again now working in the business that some of these younger bands are realizing they have to really go out there and sell their music? They can't rest on the internet?
Well, some people, it just depends on what you're doing. I mean, it also depends on what kind of career you want. If you want, a very short career, and a short and successful career, like maybe 5 years, then, you know, that formula might work for you. If you want a long-term, lifelong career, then you need to, like, have a strategy of, you know, putting out material on a consistent basis, and then you need to be able to go out on the road and bring it to the people in a live environment and actually perform it as well. But, you know, today with the internet and so many options and so many things are jockeying for people's attention, that people's attention spans, you know, they get pulled in so many different directions that you really need to keep keep putting things out to keep people engaged in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how, I think that might have been. We're getting into an interesting time. It is kind of going back to the way that it was before. I mean, even before that in the 60s, you go back to like the 40s and the 50s, where the music business was more about singles than albums. You know, somebody put out a record, it would get on the radio and you'd go buy the 45 of that single. And now that with iTunes and things like that, where people can just, you know, buy the song that they want instead of the entire record, you know, it's kind of, we're going back to a single mentality instead mm-hmm. of an album mentality.
Which I think the fan themselves actually cheats themselves out of, because I remember in the 70s going to the record store anticipating that new release by your favorite artist and then sitting there and devouring the liner notes and looking at the graphics and playing the album over and over and flipping it with all the little nuances of the grooves in there. And it seems like it's become very sterile. It's nice to see that you guys are going back to that that format for those of us that miss it.
Well, it's definitely a different experience, and I've always come from the mindset of making albums, you know, and that the record is supposed to be listened to from beginning to end, and it takes you on a musical journey, you know, and it tells a story. And if you go and you just download one song, then you're not getting the entire experience, you know.
Right. Right. Well, let's experience another track. Riva Diva is on the new Pierce Darrow album, and tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, this song, you know, this is just, it's just about a woman. She's a handful, and it's just straight up rock and roll. It was just another good excuse for us to write a cleverly written song and play some old-fashioned rock and roll.
And it shows on this album different styles. We just heard Virtual World, which has the mellower CSNN sound. We heard Kick It Out, which was blues, Kick Out of It, rather. And now we're going to get the rock and roll side of the rides. But let's give away another pair of tickets. By the way, congratulations to Patty. Patty had won a pair of tickets a few minutes ago. Now it's your turn. Be the second caller at 219-769-9577, 769-9577. As we listen to the rides, we'll have Kenny Wayne Shepherd on the other side.
Cold dark side.
are rocking and rolling. That is Riva Diva. It's another new cut off Pierced Arrow, which is the new album coming out early May from The Rides. And you can win tickets in just a few minutes. We have a winner, by the way. Dwayne, thank you for calling. Dwayne is our second winner. We've got Dwayne and Patty in the winner circle. Two more pairs will be given away here in just a few minutes. So stay near your phone and keep that number handy. We are on the phone with Kenny Wayne Shepherd. He is one of the two guitar slingers in this great new group, The Rides. And again, not necessarily new. You guys have been together now, what, three, 4 years total?
Yeah, I think the first album came out in 2013. And, it's been a few years.
Now, people just now, it seems, in my circle anyway, out here, are starting to really turn on to the Rides. It seems like there's much more of a push on this album. Did you do a lot of touring behind the first album? I know you were out for a while.
Well, we did. It was about, I can't remember the exact number of shows, but we did a fair amount of shows over the course of 2 months. It was like August, September, beginning of October, and then we had another little run in November of that year. And we really had a great time. And on this tour, we're starting, at the beginning of May. This one takes us through the first week of June, and I think they're going to look at maybe booking some more shows in the August, September, October area of the later on in the year. But this is good. I mean, people are just kind of still just finding out about this band. To be honest with you, I mean, we named the band The Rides because, you know, we love cars. We like beautiful, nice cars. And we spent a lot of time in the studio discussing cars because Steven and I are both big car guys. But, in retrospect, we probably, because we have a band name instead of using our own names, then it takes a little while for it to register with the public who it is. We probably should have just not even named the band.
Right.
But I think, done that in the past, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, I think he was in the mood to have a band name again. So, so we're The Rides, but people are still finding out who The Rides are exactly. And, we had a really successful run on the first record and the first tour, and so we're looking to build on that on this one.
Now, how much, as far as the repertoire, how much of the new album versus the Can't Get Enough first album are you doing? I know a lot of covers were on the first album.
Yeah, we're going to do, it's going to be basically evenly split between the two records, and then we throw in a few of Steven's hit songs and a few of my hit songs as well. So on the first album, we only had the first record, which was less than an hour's worth of material. And on a tour, we usually play at least 90 minutes. And so we had to throw in a bunch of other material. But it's nice to have two records now with a lot of songs to choose from. So you'll hear a lot from both of the records, but you'll also get to hear some of the songs from my catalog, Steven's catalog as well.
All right, excellent. Are we going to hear the famous riff from Devil with a Blue Dress coming off of Barry's keyboard there?
I don't know. I don't think so. But I'll ask him about that.
And for those that are listening that don't know, Barry Goldberg from Chicago did that famous riff on the Mitch Ryder classic Devil with a Blue Dress that as soon as you hear it, you know. And he's got fingerprints on so many famous records over the years. And it's about time that he's getting his just due as far as facial and name recognition through this group anyway.
Well, Barry, man, he has been a part of so many important moments in rock history. I mean, it's like, he's one of these guys that, if you look around at the photographs, you're like, oh, look, there's Barry. Oh, there's Barry. It's like in all these amazing moments. I mean, he played in Newport with Bob Dylan when Dylan went electric, and that was like one of the most defining moments in, music history. And Barry was part of that show that night and played with Bob Dylan. And, he's written hit songs for other people, and he's been part of a lot of great bands, and he's produced albums, so he's done a lot. He grew up in Chicago, and he loved the blues, and he learned how to play the blues by watching Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and all those guys up there, so he's right. The real deal.
Now, he also played with Hendrix, I believe, and you being a Hendrix devotee or aficionado, has he shared any good stories with you?
Well, I haven't asked him specifically about that. He has mentioned it, though. And, you know, Stephen played with Hendrix, too, man. There's actually a Hendrix release that came out a year or two ago that had a track on it that was recorded, and Stephen Stills was playing bass with Jimi Hendrix on it, which is
wow.
Cool, man.
That's very cool. We're going to get to a song in just a few minutes off the Can't Get Enough CD, which we'll have you pick. But right now, let's talk a little about guitars. You have been an influential player on so many of the younger kids coming up, the younger players. Who was it that first lit the fire for you as far as guitarists?
Well, for me, it was Stevie Ray Vaughan. I mean, I was always drawn to the instrument, and I loved guitar-based music and blues and country and southern rock and stuff like that. But I got to meet Stevie Ray when I was 7 years old, and that was the first time I met him. I got to meet him many times after that, and I watched his show from the side of the stage, and it changed my life, man, at a very young age. From that day forward, all I wanted to do was to get my hands on a real guitar. I had little toy guitars, little plastic acoustic guitars that I've played around on for years, but I wanted a real guitar, and I wanted to learn how to play and affect people with the emotion and intensity that he had.
Wow. And now you're playing with Chris, who was his sideman. That's got to be a big complete circle for you.
Well, yeah, it has been. I mean, you know, SRV passed away in 1990, and I recorded my first album, and it was released in 1995, which was 5 years after Stevie Ray died, and Chris recorded that first album with me, and it was a surreal moment, and it was the beginning of a lifelong friendship and musical relationship. And I mean, he's been going down this road with me now for over 20 years, so mm-hmm. I'm really grateful. And what's cool is that I grew up learning how to play guitar, playing along with his records. And so when the time came for Chris and I to actually play together, it was like perfect, because I had already been playing along with him for many years with his records, and so it was a very natural fit.
Now, we've talked about the Hendrix Experience Tour, have you guys thought of maybe doing a Stevie Ray Vaughan tour of his music, or has that been done? I missed it if it was.
No, it's never been done. I mean, there's been a couple little Stevie Ray Vaughan memorial-type concerts and stuff, but nobody's ever done a tour of it. I mean, I've thought about it, but it wouldn't be up to me, I don't think, to make something like that happen. So that really, usually things like that are in the hands of the people that control the estate. The Jimi Hendrix, the Experience Hendrix Tour is run by the Jimi Hendrix estate.
Okay. Billy Cox, of course, is kind of the band leader of that conglomeration, right?
Yeah, Billy's kind of, a few years ago, Mitch Mitchell was on the tour as well, but he actually died on the tour. We played the last show, and he stayed behind for a day or two to like shop around in Portland, and he died in the hotel room.
Wow.
Which was like tragic, man. But yeah, it's like, so Billy's the last link to Jimi Hendrix and he is, the actual band member. And so yeah, he's kind of like the band, the show leader, if you will. I mean, he starts the show, he comes out, does like, four songs. And then, other people come up throughout the night, and then Billy comes back out at the end of the show with Buddy Guy and finishes off the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've had some amazing career accolades and awards and high points. Looking back at this point in your life, what would you say are perhaps your proudest accomplishments, proudest moments, whether it's a certain recording or some of the awards you've won?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've just been very fortunate to have a career that's lasted over 20 years, and I'm just grateful for that in itself. I mean, Blue on Black is so far has probably been my most recognizable song, and that was a massive hit on rock radio. We set records for, the longest single at number one on the Billboard rock charts for that time. It, it was 17 consecutive weeks and, had been at number one for the longest amount of time and, things like that. And, we had platinum records, and there's a lot of great things, but to be honest with you, I think my biggest accomplishment is just having acquiring a fan base that really loves me and supports me and has been there for two decades and will continue to be there for me.
Okay. You've also got quite the family. Are any of the kids showing the musical gene yet?
Yeah, it's in their blood. So I'm just kind of letting it evolve naturally. I don't try and push anything on them. But my oldest son, you know, we just got him a drum kit, and he already has his own guitar. You know, he's checking it out, and they're all very in tune to music. So I will support them in whatever they want to do, but I'm definitely not going to sit here and try and cram it down their throats because nobody did that to me.
Right.
You know, I learned how to play guitar since I wanted to.
Right. Let's get to another song. Let's go back to 2013, Can't Get Enough, and then we'll be back on the other side with Kenny Wayne Shepherd. What would you like to play off this album?
Well, you know, there's a lot of great songs on that record, but I would say, you know, based on what you've already played from the new album, it might be cool to just play a straight-up blues song. And one of my favorite songs off of Can't Get Enough was originally done by Elmore James, who's like one of my favorite blues singers of all time. And he's a great guitar player, too, but I just love the sound of his voice. And I've always wanted to do this song, and it's called Talk to Me, Baby.
All right, that is track number 8 on the Can't Get Enough album. And as we listen to this, let's give another pair of tickets away. Join Patty and Dwayne in the winner's circle by being the 5th caller this time, number 5, at 219-769-9577, 769-9577. Talk to me, baby, and we will talk to Kenny Wayne one more time on the other side.
I just talked to my baby on the telephone. She said, stop what you're doing. I can't hold out.
Talk to me, baby. Getting some groove going there. Great blues. That's going back to 2013. The Ride's debut album, Can't Get Enough, an old Elmore James song. And we have the man himself, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, on the phone with us a final time. Kenny, we can keep up with you and all things pertaining to you at KennyWayneShepherd.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, KennyWayneShepherd.com. We're very active on social media, you know, things like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter for all you people who like those things as well. So you can follow along for all the latest and greatest and updates and stuff for me and the Rides on any of those outlets.
All right. Now, you said this tour is out till June. What's the rest of the year look like for you at this point? If this tour goes well, are you going to add dates? Are you going to start working on your next solo album?
Oh, we're definitely planning on adding more dates for the Rides tour, but it's probably going to be around, you know, late August, September, and October. So in the meantime, I have some shows that I'm doing with my band here and there. Like in June, I think I'm doing a couple of shows with Hank Williams Jr., and then I think either in June or July, I'm doing some shows with Lynyrd Skynyrd, and then I'm doing some of my own headline shows and stuff. And then, you know, once we get into August and September, October, then we'll be back on the road with the Ride.
Okay. And when is the next Kenny Wayne Shepherd band album coming out?
Well, it'll probably be out next year. I've been making pretty regular trips back to Nashville and writing new songs in preparation for that record. I'll probably go in the studio at the end of this year and begin recording. I'm also... I have been editing together a live DVD concert video that we'll put out at some point in the not too distant future. So, you know, we got a lot of cool things coming down the pipeline and lots of music, new music for the fans to listen to. And, you know, it's great, man. I'm very grateful.
With that DVD you're talking about, is that from throughout your career, just highlights of different performances, or it was one live concert?
No, this was one live concert that we did in New York State. And it actually, they streamed some of it live on a Yahoo concert series called Yahoo Live or something like that. But we have the entire show, and we're going to re-edit it and remix it and master it and release it on DVD. Because people have been asking for a live concert DVD from us for a long time.
Okay. And is there anything we haven't touched on that you would like to let listeners know about, whether it's the Rides or the KWS band or any of your projects?
Well, I think we've kind of covered it all. Obviously, the big focus is the show at the Star Plaza Theater. And, you know, we're looking forward to coming there. And, you know, I think that date is also Mother's Day. So
it is.
You know, man, it'd be a great... be a great show. I'm sure a lot of the mothers out there grew up listening to Stephen Stills and his music. So, you know, it might be a good Mother's Day gift. Bring mom out, come enjoy some good blues and rock and roll.
There you go. We'll give away a final pair of tickets here in just a second. KennyWayneShepherd.com is where you can keep up with them. And Kenny, thank you so much for giving us so much of your time this afternoon.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, when the new album comes out, we'll ring you up again and we'll talk about your new solo band album.
That sounds great.
Stay safe on the road.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's close out with Roadhouse. This is a song that that all the principals wrote. Barry, Kenny Wayne, and Stephen Stills, all of them had their fingerprints on this song. It's the first opening track on the Can't Get Enough album of 2013. And we'll give away that final pair of tickets. Do not hang up. If it's ringing, just let it ring because we'll get to your call. And just to make it fun, we'll take caller number 7 this time. Lucky 7 at 219-769-9577. Caller 7, you're going to the show. You get the final pair of tickets. So good luck and don't hang up. Here is The Rides as we ride on out of here with Roadhouse. Bye-bye.
Say hello, rough road ahead, go closer to home, asphalt raindrops coming through the floorboard, Mississippi Roadhouse, where I begin.
bed. Been out yonder playing the blues, singing for my supper. What's it to you? Running other people. Driving rain, Mississippi Roadhouse, where I've been, playing my music for a bunch of college kids. Said they liked it, wanna be friends. Why do that other man want me dead?